you can hang up.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.
Well, good evening or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening across the U.S. of A. and even around the world. It's been a few weeks, but we are so glad to be back with you. It is live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host and producer Scott Cluthie, and we have a very critical question for you today. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who is presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show. We want to hear from our listeners. And without further ado, by the way, that call-in line, and our first two callers today, by the way, receive a copy of Laura Wayman's award-winning, best-selling book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, published by Johns Hopkins University Press. So that's a pretty big deal. So we'd love to hear from you. That call-in line, and by the way, there are no wrong questions on dementia. There's only misunderstanding on dementia, and mine gets enlightened every time I work with Laura and become more enlightened in understanding dementia and becoming dementia aware, as she says. Your call-in line is 929-477-1393, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio this Friday afternoon, 929-477-1393. And without further ado, here is the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, as always. You know I am so honored to be here with you today and every day when we get the opportunity to be together on the radio helping caregivers across the United States, around the world. And I just want to tell our dear listening audience, Scott and I want you to know you are not alone. If you have worries, concerns, or anxieties, or if you want advice, inspiration, and encouragement on your dementia care journey, you've tuned into the right place. We want you to stay with us today, and I want Scott to take a minute to talk about how we got together and what has happened in his life so that he has the ability to relate to you, the caregiver, because he's been a caregiver too. So, Scott, give our listening audience just a little bit of your history.
Well, that's very kind of you, Laura, as you always do. Really, I've been involved in media since the early, the early 70s, many years in public broadcasting, developed an understanding and awareness of radio. Back in those days, you actually had to take a first-class license to run a radio station to be on the air, period, because you had to take plates and voltmeter readings and all this stuff. So I started in community radio. Finally said, you know, my ideas on spiritual development, personal development, alternative health, and so on. That's where I started to connect with people like Dr. John Gray, Deepak Chopra, and many spiritual teachers of all kinds. And then moving to Sirius Satellite Radio in 1999 with Wisdom Radio on Sirius Satellite, and then into Lime Radio, which was then the stepchild of Wisdom Radio. Anyway, let's just say it's the next generation of it. Really starting to work with a lot of people at the national level. I can't even say his name right now. But anyway, a lot of people of all kinds, Andrew Weil. Dr. Andrew Weil actually trained him in radio, health and wellness. So health and wellness and the debilitating situation of not having the right lifestyle, the right kind of diet, the right kind of food, and how that can disintegrate our quality of life. And then, yes, pass through the portals of losing a loved one to cancer while also dealing with a mother-in-law who had obviously showing signs of dementia. I didn't know at the time because I wasn't dementia aware, like Laura Wayman teaches. I didn't know. I was just dealing with an older woman who didn't know who I was. And I was like, are you kidding? I'm your son-in-law, you know. So that was a very hard and confusing time for me in the early 2000s. And then started to work with the senior community doing video production and helping. And then met Laura. Laura, through my lovely wife, Faye, came to Houston, here where I am, to teach her dementia training. I went and videotaped her, actually, at a beautiful facility at the Vosswood. And then had the opportunity to work with her and her lovely husband, Stephen, to develop a video asset for her for marketing and to present her new book, which at that time was just coming out, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. And then we became fast friends. And then I was very grateful when Laura called me up. I don't know now, Laura, almost 2 years.
Absolutely.
Said, let's start a radio show. And I'm like, one Aquarian to another. Heck yeah. What else would I like to do with you? And so we have been producing some incredible shows on a whole panacea, the whole dimension of dementia care from all aspects. And today we had a really powerful perspective, especially around the issue of grief and grieving and, frankly, the buried grief that we bury in life itself. So I'm looking forward to our very special guest today. Laura, I guess I've talked enough.
And, you know, talking about grief, you mentioned how you have experienced grief on so many different levels. You know, we were just talking earlier how you can experience grief when you lose a job, when you lose a relationship, not just that person passes away, but there's all different kinds of grief. And our guest today is going to really hone in on how he can help people, and he is an amazing man. He's just the warmest, kindest, most loving man. You just, if you were to be in any kind of situation where you were frightened or alone or grieving, and you had your eyes closed and you opened them and this particular guest of ours was standing there, you would feel such relief immediately. And so I'm so excited for him to come on and talk about his whole venue is so much bigger than mine because, you know, of course, I focus on dementia and grieving caregivers with dementia, and he's just all over the place with any kind of grief. So we're going to learn a lot today from him, but why don't you go ahead, Scott, since you're so good at introductions, why don't you go ahead and bring our guest on, and if you could do the introduction, I would be very honored if you could do that.
Very good. And I just want to, because this is live radio here, folks, and so we're walking the high wire without a net. Is that Terry's phone number I see on the screen?
I believe that's Terry, and I believe he's waiting for us because we asked him to.
I hope so.
To try and call back.
If not, then you'll have to connect, and I'll have to fill in the blanks, as they say.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out.
That may be a caller, but this is a tremendous opportunity. Our guest is Chaplain Terry Morgan. First, he's the author of 5 books: The Chaplain's Role, How Clergy Can Work with Law Enforcement, Life Celebrations, A Guide for Funeral and Memorial Services, What to Do When Grief Kidnaps Your Soul, which is going to be the focus of our show today, and Starting with God. This special focus on grief that a caregiver, family, professional experiences when they're dedicating their life to caring for a loved one, a patient, a resident, or client with any cause of dementia. And Chaplain Morgan conducts funerals, memorial services as a chaplain. He's conducted over 2,000 such services. That itself can be heavy on the soul. In his specialized services, he had a very difficult time trying to find one good resource for helping with all these kinds of services. So I end up writing a book on based on his vast experiences, which is really a wonderful, wonderful thing to say about the chaplain, that he took his experiences and turned it into knowledge for all of us to understand, you know, so much. He's an ordained minister, almost 30 years of experience. He spent 15 years as a law enforcement chaplain. In fact, right now, one of the things Terry wanted us to share is that he is the senior pastor of the Indwelling Church in Redding, California, and he's working closely with an organization called Police USA to help educate and support law enforcement chaplains across the country, in which I think would be very profound work, because the officers, the men and women who put on the blue, as they say, every day and stand in for us in everyday life right on the streets, oftentimes have to deal with grief that's beyond anything we can even comprehend. So he has so many salutations and awards, Mastery of Ministry and Public Safety with an emphasis on chaplaincy, Board Certified Emergency Crisis Response. He is a senior chaplain executive director of the Gold Country Chaplaincy. It's just a lot of experience. He's a board member of the Fellowship of Marketplace Christians International as well, Campaign for Community Awareness, and many others. I mean, it's an outstanding resume. And so that's our very, very special guest today, Chaplain Terry Morgan. And might we check, Laura, because you may need to give him a call if this is not him, but I'm hoping it is. And is that you, Chaplain
Hello.
Morgan?
This
Look at you.
You're so
professional. You dialed in and forget my hesitation. Hello there, Chaplain. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Quite a glowing introduction there. Thank you so much. I'm blushing, I think.
And you know what else is wonderful about Chaplain Terry is he is truly a humble man. Even, I mean, you look at this man's resume, and he has just helped millions of people. And, you know, he just, when I think of Chaplain Morgan, I just feel so warm. He is, you're going to hear, our listening audience is going to hear, what a great guy this is. This was his calling. So, Chaplain Morgan, I'm just going to give you a virtual hug before we get started here, because I'm so happy you're here. I'm so excited. But would you mind kind of talking about how did you find out this was your calling, that you were going to do this for a living? And then we can really get into what I want to talk about today is your books, and especially what to do when grief captures your soul, because I have so many people that I work with that are in grief on their dementia care journey. So give us a little rundown about how you got to be Chaplain Terry Morgan.
Well, it's such an honor to be here. I'm just so grateful. And Laura, I've worked with you for many years, and it's always just such a blessing to hear you speak. And I can remember several years ago when my own parents were having issues with dementia, and you were that person in my corner. And you educated me on a lot of things that I didn't know, and really were such a huge help to me, and helped me keep my sanity going through that with my parents. And I just am so thankful that you were in my life. I kind of fell into chaplaincy, honestly, about 20 or so years, I guess it's been closer to 25 years ago now. I was in between positions. I was looking for a pastor position, and they said that I needed more counseling experience and counseling background. And to make a long story short, I heard about a program in Sacramento called the Law Enforcement Chaplaincy of Sacramento, and they had a training program, and I got involved with that. And it was a 12-week intensive training, and about halfway through the training, I realized that this was something that God had called me to work with people in grief and in the most tragic and worst times of their lives very often.
And how do you keep up so much, Terry? Where does your inner strength come from? Because you are helping people really in sometimes the most horrific portions of their life, and they lean on you, and you know, it just, like I said, you if you were to be in that situation, just to fall into Terry's arms, he just is this most amazing, charismatic, caring person. It just absolutely emotes from him, I guess is the way to put it. But how do you stay so strong?
Well, I think I talk about that in my book, that the importance of self-care, and I know that you also talk about that with caregivers, the importance that you take time to take care of yourself. So I have people that I can go to, and we actually have a code word that we use. We caregivers have a hard time accepting help from somebody else. It's really hard to say, you know what, I've had a really difficult time with this particular call or working with this person in grief, and I need help. That's hard for us to say, but it's really easy for us to say, you know what, I could really use a piece of pie. And if you know me, I don't need any pie. But that's our code to say, you know, I need someone to talk to. And so we have other chaplains that I have people that I can go to, that some trusted individuals that I know that will be there for me. And I can go to them and say, my friend, I need a piece of pie. And they know that means I want to go out, maybe have a cup of coffee or just sit down and talk. And talking is so important, being able to talk it out and express what's going on, the emotions and the feelings that you're having and what you're going through. Talking can be so healing.
And you know what? We need our listeners to hear this. If they're listening right now and they are hearing your voice and what you just said, we want to invite them to call in for a piece of pie right now. Let's
Absolutely.
Talk.
It
would be so, it's so comforting just to be able to talk to somebody and know that you have that soft place to land. And you know, Terry, often that is what helps that caregiver the most, like you were just talking about. Just to have somebody, I like what you said, to have somebody in your corner that understands the type of grief that you are experiencing. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about what to do when grief does kidnap your soul. No matter what the reason, the approach to helping you through that grief is pretty much the same, isn't it, Terry?
There's so many similarities, absolutely. And grief comes in many different shapes and colors, and putting a name on it sometimes is very helpful. But a person can be grieving over losing a lost toy. A child could lose a toy and can be grieving. A person could lose a home or lose a marriage or lose a job, as you said at the beginning of the show, and be going through grief. A person could lose a loved one, or a person could lose their health, or a loved one could lose their health. And we go through these griefs, a sense of loss over what's happening to us. I think it's really important that we be able to name it and say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what's going on, and then to start dealing with that grief and finding a safe person like you, Laura, to talk to and say, this is what's going on. I need a safe person I can talk to that's not going to judge me, that's going to understand what I'm going through.
I am so excited about some of the things that are on board for you too, Terry. This new book, and this What to Do When Grief Kidnapped Your Soul, this is your newest book, right?
This is actually, this would be my third book.
Oh, okay.
But this is a book that's really designed for people that are grieving, that are hurting. And oftentimes, I mean, there's a lot of great books out there for someone that's lost a loved one, but I don't think there's a lot of good material out there for grief in general and how to deal with the grief and how to work through that grief.
I think oftentimes
a person says, well, you know, this happened, well, get over it. And you can't just get over it. It takes time to work through that. And whether it be a loss of a loved one or possibly a loss of a loved one due to dementia, there's a grieving process that we have to go through. And it takes time.
And it's different for everyone. It's just like when I'm training about dementia. Dementia presents differently for every single person. I say if you've met one person with dementia, you've only met one person with dementia. And so it's the same thing with grief. You know, grief is certainly the way that we're working through pain of loss. And so we're experiencing pain, and pain is pain. However, it is so different for everyone, and we need to, as that person, that heart, I like to say I want to be a heart with ears, because when someone needs
oh,
to
like
talk
that.
About this, you know, we have to listen. We have to be able to really let them say whatever they're feeling without judgment. And with caregivers especially, you know, you and I have talked about this when dementia is involved, there's different kinds of grief, because as it goes along, as they lose their loved one a piece at a time, there's this unfolding grief that's happening. And so that's
right.
Different than acute grief at the end, when they actually physically lose that person, but they've suffered so much loss. They've suffered loss of their relationship with that person. They've suffered loss of time, spending time with that person. And they've also suffered the loss of themselves. I often talk to caregivers at the end when their loved one actually physically passes on. They say, I don't even know who I am anymore, because I have lost myself, because it takes 24 hours a day to help this person who has dementia. So they lose even who they are, their own individuality. So, you know, it really, dementia does come in, and part of dementia kidnapping your soul is the fact that it's the grief that is doing that. And
that's right.
I love it when I get the opportunity to train Chaplain Morgan's, you know, his volunteers, his new trainee chaplains, because it is amazing when they become dementia aware. Don't you agree when that light goes on, Carrie?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for many of them, they have families, they have parents that are going through that currently. You know, we're an aging population. We're getting to where a lot of our parents do have dementia or will have. So, I mean, some of the things that you do by giving us permission to, as you said, grieve uniquely in our own way, and to have people surrounding us that care about us and that are willing to listen to what we have to say, the permission to express our emotions or to feel numb and not feel anything at all even. I think it's so important that we get people those permissions.
You know,
Laura,
I had a very
–
oh, sure. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Chaplain Morgan, you know, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the distinction, by the way, between sadness and grief. Grief is something that sinks deep into our soul. Grief is something that can overtake us to the point where we stop taking care of ourselves. Grief can be such a depth on our being that we sort of give up. And in fact, today for me was a good example of someone in grief. My wife and I work with Clear Captions. It's a Title IV Americans with Disabilities Act program, and it puts phones into the homes of seniors, veterans, and so on who have hearing loss, inability to communicate with their family, and it really opens up that world for them. But this woman lived in a home I would estimate probably a $4 or $5 million home, beautiful home, gated home, all that. And she lived there by herself. And she lived there by herself because her husband passed away 3 years ago. And she spends her time inside of a bedroom playing internet games and looking at a computer in a little room. And she can't even go into the bedroom that they shared together. And you know, I'm thinking, boy, I'd be in France, you know. I'd be on a cruise. But see, that's the outside perception of what's going on in her internal world. And that would say to me, Chaplain Morgan, that she has not, first off, grief is not, there's not a timeline. These people say, well, get a month off from work.
That's right.
And then you can get over the loss of someone you were married to for 40 years. Well, that's not the way life works. Some people might grieve for a week and somehow find a way to clear themselves. Others might grieve for a lifetime and leave this planet. In fact, many times, you know, couples leave within a short time of each other, and I believe and would maintain a lot of it has to do with broken heart and soul and grief.
That's right.
Would you talk about the distinction between sadness, which happens all, I mean, you know, I get a flat tire and miss an appointment, I'm sad, right? Or I burn dinner, I'm sad. But that's not grief. Grief is a whole other distinction.
and it is. And grief and sadness and mourning even. are often used interchangeably, and they really are a little bit different. Grief is probably the most powerful emotion that we're ever going to see. And oftentimes it manifests itself in different ways. It may manifest itself in anger or disbelief. Mourning is, and even sadness too, is more of the, mourning is the physical, what you see a person going through, the tears, and the grief is the heartache, the internal, what's going on inside. But grief can be a powerful, powerful emotion. And it can change us. And that's why I picked the title for this book, What to Do When Grief Kidnaps Your Soul, because it's like, with grief, it's like something came along and ripped our soul out from out of us. It's something's missing.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. It's going to take as long as it takes. You can't put a timeline on grief. You can't say, well, it's been a week since the funeral, or it's been a month, get over it. I think the last statistic I read was after 5 years, the average person still isn't quote unquote over it yet. So it takes time, and it takes time to work through that. And everyone's going to grieve differently, and everyone's going to have a different timeline. What I usually tell people when they're initially in grief is it's not going to hurt as bad a year from now as it does right now. It may not be over yet, but it's not going to hurt as bad. And another word that I like to use with people when they explain what's going on in them, I like to tell them, you know what, this is normal. This is a normal experience, and people that have experienced something similar to what you've experienced have these same emotions and these same feelings. You're not going crazy. You're normal.
That's so important, Terry, because I get the impression often from these caregivers that are experiencing these different levels of grief, and it's layer upon layer, that they are afraid that they're not normal, that this isn't because they have such expectations about what they're supposed to be feeling or how they're supposed to be coping with it. And I love how you say, you know, come up for air and just ask to meet to have a piece of pie, because you really need to be around someone who can let you feel whatever it is you're feeling. And just like Scott was just talking about, you might be extremely angry. You know, and I know you hear this, Chaplain Morgan, but I'm sure you hear people say, I'm mad at God. I'm mad.
Oh, sure.
Yes. How do you help them with that?
You know, God's got big shoulders. He can handle a person being angry at them, at him. and that's usually what I tell them. It's like, it's okay to feel this way right now. But God's got big shoulders, and he can handle your anger.
And
he doesn't make it personal.
Take it personal.
Yes, and I'm sure that God or whatever spiritual being that you see as and visualize and feel, I'm sure that person, that God, that being, believes that you're normal too, and they're expecting that you feel this way. That's part of being human, don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
You yes.
know, I think it's kind of funny when how does that saying go? That when the devil wants to send trouble, he sends a cynical Christian. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know, sometimes too, Chaplain, we take the grief and we become, and you know what the word is, N-U-M-B, numb. We literally cut ourselves off. And what we're doing now, we're totally internalizing. And, I'm fine. Oh, I'm good. I'm okay. Oh, no, I don't want to come over to the bridge club. I'm okay. And so we've gone numb.
Yeah.
And we really need support to break out of that numbness, don't we?
Yeah, and we can. It's possible for a person to get stuck in their emotions and not move on. And you know, I would say probably, I don't know, a figure 95% of people will go through grief and they'll come out the other end. It may take a while, but they'll come out the other end without a whole lot of help. But sometimes we do get stuck, and sometimes we need a little push to get unstuck. Sometimes we need that person to talk to and say, you know, I've got to work through this and I'm not sure how to do it. And like I said before, the talking can be so healing. Just being able to talk about what's going on, how I'm feeling, it can just be incredibly clearing.
And you know, it's really difficult for that caregiver of a loved one with dementia as they're going through this grief, is that often they lose the ability to talk to that person who has dementia because that relationship changes and they can't share their
That's
feelings
right.
with that person. And so they've also experienced that loss of their cherished role as a wife or a son or a daughter
right.
or a husband. And that is really difficult because exactly what you're saying, that is probably exactly the same person that when they've experienced other losses in their life is that person that has been their soft place to land, and they could come and talk to that person, and now they can't because if they do, it just makes matters worse because that person with dementia can't understand or help them to resolve these emotional conflicts anymore because they just don't have the brain function to help them. And so it is just like a layer upon layer, like I talked about, of grief in so many different ways. And so we're going to need to take our half show break because this, as always, when I'm with you, Terry, the time just flies by, and I do want our listening audience to know that I am very, very fond of Terry, and we are friends. And I should call you Chaplain Morgan and be less familiar and more professional, but I just love this man. He is very, very dear to me. So when we come back, we will be talking more with Chaplain Morgan and all about grief and becoming dementia aware and the importance of our chaplains becoming dementia aware. So we'll come back and talk about that. So, Scott, if you could just close us out for our half a show break, that would be great.
All right. Yes, right. Absolutely. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. This is co-host and producer Scott Cluthie. Our special guest is Chaplain Terry Morgan. I remind you of our call-in line. It is 929-477-1393, and we'll be back after these important messages. You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for taking
me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone. And
now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums. 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back live on Blog Talk Radio. This is co-host Scott Cluthie along with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Our special guest today is Chaplain Terry Morgan, author of multiple books, by the way, on many aspects of both healing, grief, and working a lot with police, firemen, and those special needs in regard to the grief. And they can find grief on the streets of these major cities every day. And they still have to get up, put the badge on, and go to work the next day. But we're focusing a lot on the particular dementia journey and caregivers and the burden they carry. And Chaplain Terry Morgan's new book is what, well, no, that's not the right one, Scott. Yeah, What to Do When Grief Kidnaps Your Soul. And by the way, Chaplain Morgan, how do people get access to the book? Is it online? Is it in bookstores? Is there a website?
They can actually get it on Amazon, and it's also available in Kindle. So they can look it up on Amazon and order it direct from Amazon, or they can actually go to some of the major bookstores in the country. Barnes and Nobles. I'm trying to think of some of the major ones, but they can actually go and get them there as well. Or if they prefer to have it on a tablet, they can get it on Kindle.
Yeah, your book actually sounds like the kind of thing I work with on my show on Love Cafe as well. So hats off to doing deep work, and we need more of it in shallow society. Okay, Laura, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Scott. And, you know, Chaplain Morgan would probably love to come on your radio show, too. We often share guests because we're so interrelated with all the people that we help. And
absolutely.
And he, obviously, he's such a great guest, and I just love him to pieces. So, you know, we were talking during the break, Terry, about how police officers and firemen and paramedics, how important it is that they become dementia aware. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are the most important things from my training that you think would help the police officers, for example? Because I know they are coming across, this is a silent pandemic, it's the most horrific illness of our time. They're coming across situations where they're having to help caregivers, having to help those that are suffering with dementia symptoms. What are the things that would be most important for anyone who is listening today or anyone in the future that we might be talking about who's in law enforcement? What would help them the most when becoming dementia aware?
Well, I think every one of them should take your 8-hour training course, to be honest.
I think so, too.
It's so, I'll put a plug in there for that. I think that's great. I think it's so important for them to understand what's going on with the people that they're working with. And I think by going through a training like what you're offering, they're going to have a lot more compassion for these people, and they're going to understand and be more patient with them. And I think that's so important that they be able to work with these people. I remember a case a few years ago where a woman with dementia, her caregiver was her husband, and he passed away. And they were trying to explain to her at the hospital that he had passed away, and she just was not getting it. And they were very impatient. That's when they called me in to work with this woman. And, I mean, it was a very sad case. But I was finally able to get across to her, at least at the level she was at, that he had passed away, and we were able to get family there for her. But I think that they and it's not their fault. It's the nature of the job, but they tend to be very impatient with people.
Well, they're trying to expect. It's the expectations that someone who's not dementia aware has, because it's
That's
unrealistic
right.
expectations for you to think that somebody who has dementia, which is basically loss of normal brain function, that they should be able to think the same way that you think when you have all of your normal brain function. The way that I like to simplify it, and I know that many of my listeners and Scott and even you, Terry, have heard me talk about it this way, but someone with dementia has a broken thinker. And every time we try and communicate with somebody with a broken thinker, it is honestly, and this is a harsh word, it's cruel to think that they can process the same way. And what
That's
happens
right.
is it causes that person great anxiety, great. We'll see them being in states of agitation. They're in anger. They're in fear, and it's all because we're trying to give them information that before their loss of normal brain function, they would have absolutely processed on autopilot. And this whole thing changes when I'm doing training. I tell the caregivers, whether they're professional caregivers, whether they're family caregivers, is everything you've learned about communicating when you're caring for an adult who does not have dementia, I want you to throw it out. Because you have to unlearn all of that and learn, just like you were talking about, learn a different way to communicate with different expectations about what that person can and cannot understand. And
exactly.
it's so hard, especially for the medical community and for those let's talk about in the whole area of law enforcement, because when let's just say I'm watching a show about, let's just say I'm watching Cops, and I see this person who, and I'm going to use a little different scenario here, but I see this person who's obviously drank too much. They've had too much alcohol.
Uh-huh.
And the cop is approaching them and trying to communicate with this person with too much alcohol. And Chaplain Morgan, is that person who has had too much alcohol, they're basically drunk, are they processing what the policeman is saying in a normal way?
No.
They're not
understanding,
are they? No, they're not.
Right.
Because the portion of their brain function that they would access to process the words that this policeman is telling them is not accessible because alcohol has temporarily removed their ability to process what they hear. So what happens is they hear blah, 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 which makes them even more confused. And so it just doesn't work. Yet that policeman is trained to ask questions and to continue to talk. And what does it do? It makes the situation worse because it just makes that person who cannot process because of alcohol, it makes them angry and agitated. And so it's all about learning how to communicate with someone who's not processing, because what happens with dementia is the very same loss of normal brain function occurs where they can't process what they hear the same, except with dementia, it's permanent and progressive loss. So they're never going to get better. They're never going to wake up the next morning and have that loss back because it's not temporary loss anymore. And so it continues to get more and more difficult to communicate and expect a realistic response because that portion of their brain is gone forever. And what happens is the more information you try and give them, the worse it makes the situation. So you have to think for them. So just with a little bit of tweaking and practice, we can help law enforcement to understand that. They still get the information to this person, but just in a way that can be processed because they're helping to think for them.
That's
so
right.
That is
exactly.
Just so important, but so bizarre. It's so hard because it's such the opposite of what we're taught, what our core knowledge is about communicating with adults. And so that, I think, I'm sure you'll agree, Chaplain Morgan, I think that's the hardest part about my program is letting go of those expectations that you can communicate with somebody
yes.
with dementia or somebody who happens to be drinking too much alcohol. The same way, because you cannot. It just
right.
makes it worse. Yes.
One of the things I love that you teach is about how a person with dementia will lose facts and information, but they will always retain the emotions surrounding those. So with the example I was giving earlier about this woman that I had to let her know that her husband had died, she offered me a glass of milk, believe it or not. She pulled out this dirty bag she was carrying, this filthy thermos of milk, and she took this cup and she wiped it with her sleeve and put milk in it and then gave it to me, and I pretended to take a drink of it. And after I did that, we've just had a connection, an emotional connection, And from that time on, she wouldn't talk to anybody except me at the hospital. So, and for law enforcement, unfortunately, they're taught to suppress their emotions. They're dealing just with facts, just the facts, ma'am. As what was his name? Friday used to say.
Yes.
Detective Friday.
Joe Friday.
Just the facts, man.
Just the facts.
Joe
man.
Friday.
Just
there
the
you go.
Facts.
I lost his first name. So they're trained to deal with facts. So when they're dealing with someone with dementia, they need to be retrained to understand you can't reach this person with just facts. You've got to somehow reach the emotional level with them, and then you'll be able to work with them.
And give them permission to feel frustrated with this, because this takes practice.
Yes.
I have to practice this all the time. You know, every single day I learn something new about communicating with someone with dementia. And Scott and I talk about this all the time. It takes practice. Even though we know this theory, it's just so different. That's why it's so necessary to access someone like me. There isn't a lot of people like me, but someone like me who has this methodology ongoing. You know, I tell the professional staff, you know, I can come here and I can help you with this, but you're going to need to access me. We're going to have to do follow-up because we have to practice this together. It takes a real commitment. This is a process, just like grieving is a process. And we have to allow ourselves to fall down, get back up, and dust ourselves off, because this is not easy stuff. It's almost
right.
The opposite of what we've learned all our life. And to allow ourselves to learn to take each situation and customize our care approach, it really is so evident to me that dementia is like a snowflake. You know, there are a different piece to this with every single person. And it's almost fascinating in a horrific way, the way that everybody even individualizes dementia. When we talk about when our Creator, who creates us as an individual, as that singular person, and no one's the same, we all have different fingerprints. Well, it's interesting how dementia, when it starts to take away that normal brain function, it does that in a very individual way too. We have to respect that. It's just so intricate and complex, and I want our listeners to know that when you're listening today, you're building your village. You're building a real foundation with someone like Scott, who has his experiences with caregiving, and someone like you, Chaplain Morgan, who has all kinds of experience with your own caregiving and then helping caregivers and helping with the grief that they might be feeling, really understanding that. And also your whole vision as a law enforcement chaplain and seeing the world through law enforcement's eyes, and how important it is that we, you know, tweak all of this information to help them in an individual fashion. We
Absolutely.
Have our work cut out for us, gentlemen.
We do. And you know, Laura, I think what makes you so unique and such a valuable asset is not only your education, but you've experienced this. You've been through it yourself, knowing some of your backstory. And when a person experiences that kind of grief that just seems to kidnap our souls, you know, when you go through that and then you've been healed and you speak to another person with a broken heart, it's like giving nourishment to a starving child. It's there's a depth to your words, and it's like you're pouring a healing balm into the wounds of people that are experiencing these things, and the caregivers that are working with people in dementia. I think, if you don't mind, there's a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So, in other words, when we go through something, we go through grief ourselves, and come out the other side, we're able to minister to people that are going through something similar, going through that grieving process. And I think that's what makes you so valuable, that it's not just a head knowledge, but you have real life experience with this kind of grief.
Well, thank you. That's so kind, Chaplain Morgan. And, you know, it's all about allowing ourselves the power of being vulnerable. You know,
yes.
When we go through this pain and we open ourselves up, and life forces us to sometimes be open, before we slam that door, because that pain can be so intense, if we just ask someone to come and sit with us, someone who can be
yes.
empathetic, someone who is just going to listen, that's what makes you so valuable and your work, because I know if I were in some kind of grieving pain, I needed someone to listen to me, I know that you would be the first person I would call. And you know, we all, the three of us here on the show today, we've all experienced loved ones in our life passing on. And
yes.
I know, Scott, that you felt very alone when you lost your wife, didn't you?
Yes, not to go into the dirty details, but let's just say everyone that was in relationship with us for 22 years of marriage, I didn't get a lot of calls back.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
I know that was a very sad. I did not know you then, Scott, but I know I've heard in your voice how painful that was. And then, of course, being a caregiver for, like you talked about, your mother-in-law, and you were losing her a piece at a time with no one to support you with that. Oh, my goodness,
aww.
It was at the same time. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to that point, I wanted to, Terry, ask you to talk about caregivers, anyone in any form of, I don't even know if I'm in grief, I'm just sad all the time, whatever. What are the steps, the action steps they should take to pull themselves to move out of this? And, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to go talk to my friend and sit around and talk, and it becomes a circular conversation, you know what I'm saying, same thing over and over.
Uh-huh.
How do they reach out
right.
and find someone like you? What are the associations, the groups? What should they do if they're ready to move on with their life, or even have a sense that maybe I've become stuck?
Now, there are a number of great support groups out there. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one particular one to go to, but there are many, many support groups. I think one of the things that I suggest people do, and not initially right at the very beginning, but over time, if you find yourself constantly dwelling on what you're grieving, then you need to start giving yourself permission to say, okay, I'm going to grieve for 10 minutes. I'm going to give myself permission to think about this for 10 minutes. Then I'm going to move on. I'm going to do something else. And allow yourself time to do that, to do the grieving work. But if you don't feel like doing something, you shouldn't feel guilty about not wanting to do something. If it's your, for example, if it's the first Christmas after losing a loved one, don't feel guilty if you don't want to do Christmas this year. But you need to start taking steps. Exercise is important. Get out and walk or get a little bit of exercise. Be sure that you're taking care of yourself physically. Do those self-care things. They're so important. And I can't overemphasize the talking. It's important that you find a safe person, though, because not everyone's going to be able to hear it. Like you were just saying, Scott, when you lost your wife, the people that didn't return your calls, I use the example for when I'm doing a chaplain training. If you have a friend and you know someone that just lost a loved one, and you're walking down an aisle in the grocery store and you see that person at the other end of the aisle, what do you do? Most people will dodge and hope that they didn't see them and duck down a different aisle because they just don't know what to say or what to do. So I think it's so important to get some training. Go to Laura's class. It's usually there's more things to not say than there are to say. Sometimes it's just being there for a person and holding their hand and listening and allowing them to express what's going on. And people don't understand that. They always think they're going to say the wrong thing. So rather than say the wrong thing, they don't say anything and they try to avoid the person. So, and I think for a person that's going through grief, it's important to understand that. It's not that the people don't want to be around them, don't want to help. They're afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing.
And so what kinds of things that you can say that aren't helpful? I know it would not be helpful for me to say to a caregiver, well, you'll feel better when your loved one passes on. You know,
right. That wouldn't be good.
There are, you know, or any of the, well, at least, you know, one of those, I hate the at least. Well, at least it's not your mom,
right.
It's your, you know, don't ever say that. Just
yeah,
don't
use the comparing.
No, and another thing is that, can you give a really good definition of empathy? Because there's a difference between being sympathetic and being empathetic. What is your definition of empathy? Because you are a very empathetic person. And so how would you help someone else be empathetic in this kind of situation?
I think empathetic, having empathy is understanding what they're going through. You're putting yourself in their shoes and understanding what they're going through. It's not that you feel sorry for them. You try to put yourself in their shoes and understand what they're going through. So I think it's important rather than say something like, I know exactly what you're feeling, say something like, I can't begin to understand what you're going through, and all I know is that I love you and I hurt for you. This seems like more than you could possibly bear. Say something along those lines. Don't think that you know exactly what they're going through, because you don't. Even if you went through something similar, it's not going to be exactly the same. And I've heard some awful things around grief. You know, God needed another flower for his flower bed in heaven, or just need an angel. You know, there's horrible things you say.
I know, or they're in a better place, because I've actually seen someone react to that so negatively, because I have a very dear friend who lost her son, and someone said that to her, well, he's in a better place, and she said, she just let out this string of curse words because it made her so mad, and she said, a better place would be sitting here next to me. And I
went,
oh, my gosh, I never thought about it that way, but what a horrible thing to say. You know, that's not necessarily better for everybody. So, I love what you just said. I love, say it again, Terry, I don't know if I can completely understand. Anyway, say that again. I loved it.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you're going through right now, or I can't imagine how bad you're hurting right now. Because even if you've gone through something very similar, it's not the same. The person has had different experiences. We know that in dealing with loss, losing a spouse is different than losing a parent, is different from losing a child. All grief is different. It's all unique. So we don't understand. We don't know exactly what they're going through. So we can say that I can't imagine what you're going through and how bad you must be feeling right now.
Oh, my goodness. You just have such a wonderful, warm way of just enveloping people with your caring and loving spirit. And I am so pleased that you have been able to be with us today. You know, we're out of time already. And I just want to – I know. It's amazing.
That was an hour.
Isn't that crazy? I want to thank you.
You're making a difference.
You are making such a difference, Chaplain Morgan, and I want to thank you for being with us today, joining us, and we recognize the courage it takes to reach out for help from caregivers, from anyone on this difficult journey of life, and specifically dementia care. Nothing in your life can prepare you to care for a loved one with any cause of dementia. And I feel truly honored that you came to us today and you're listening and seeking our support, and that we got to bring Terry on to give you this extra special support. And I'm going to quote Terry's favorite quote today and my closing thought. John Wesley, when asked what his secret was, I asked God to set me on fire and let people watch me burn. Lord, set me on fire for you. What a perfect closing thought, because that just describes Terry and his work as a chaplain. And I am just so honored that you came on today. And so, Scott, do you have any closing thoughts for us today?
Well, I just think that those who find themselves in grief and those around them should remember that they're the ones that are grieving, and they're grieving within themselves as much as they're grieving for the lost feet. It's their own grief they're dealing with.
How would somebody get a hold of you, Chaplain Morgan?
The best way to reach me right now is through my email. It's chaplainmorgan@gmail.com. They can also go to my website, goldcountrychaplaincy.com. But chaplainmorgan@gmail.com is the best way to reach me.
Great. And thank you so much. And, Scott, if you'll take us out, and we'll be looking forward to talking with anybody, all of our listeners, they can call in on our next show. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone, for listening live today on Blog Talk Radio to Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. This is her co-host and producer, Scott Cluthy. Thanks for being there. Take care and be kind. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com, and join the Dementia Whisperers newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com, and join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.